Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There were a lot of stories that were popping today, especially with the Department of Justice and the Epstein stuff. Joe Biden, is it a scandal? Would you call the whole presidency is a scandal, no?
Well, are you talking about AutoPen?
Yeah, and his competency, his presence,
well, yes.
All of these people coming in to testify, most of them pleading the fifth.
Yes.
Corinne Jean-Pierre is supposed to come in next week, I think.
Wow.
That's
I wonder if she'll talk.
She was so good at it.
No. Wouldn't that be really funny if she just gave all the information she had and it was just the same as every press briefing she ever did?
She just said the exact same thing. Open the binder.
When she got out of being the press secretary, obviously, she changed her registration. She's not a Democrat anymore.
I saw that.
She's an independent.
That was a little blip on the radar there shortly after Trump took office.
She's young enough that I would think that she wouldn't want her entire career to be tethered to whatever is going to come out.
I don't know how you separate yourself. I mean, everybody in the world knows you as the person who couldn't really defend Biden.
No, there's you could easily. She's not. Guess how old she is?
40.
Brad?
31.
50.
No way, really?
Really?
1974.
Wow.
Wow.
No offense, but you're not as young as I thought you were. I thought
me
she was
either.
Younger than that. Yeah, she's 50 years old. She looks great for 50. It kind of changes if she were 30 versus if she was 50. Remember, Carolyn Leavitt's 28 or something like that. That's wild. But she probably doesn't have as much runway left as I thought she would as far if she's 50 years old. But there's a lot of room for her to reboot. She could tell everything.
Oh, if she wants to do that,
she's
sure.
She's writing a book.
Yeah, if that's the route she wants to take, then go for it. You go, girl. Let's see it. I always say you go, girl. You know, that's my thing. It's a catchphrase. You go, girl. Go, you go, girl. I'm saying it to you now, though.
Oh, you didn't give me the forehead nod.
You got it now.
Which story are you most interested in? Because the Russia collusion story. I mean, you've got Joe Biden. This is wild. Like let's create some mental columns here, which is what I have to do to keep all these things straight. You have the Joe Biden AutoPen mental fitness to serve. And I remember when Joe Biden was still a president, and we were saying they're going to come out and tell us this is what happened, and we're all going to be like, we know. We've been saying this whole time that Joe Biden is not with his wits. He is not in a position to be doing what he's doing. And we all said here, I know that I specifically said over and over again, I don't think he's doing the job. Who is doing the job? The American people have a right to know that. Okay, column A, set it aside. Column B, I said Epstein files. Did you hear today that there's subpoenas out for the Clintons? The Clintons. And the Epstein stuff. The spiciness of what is downstream from where we are right now for any one of these individual columns is historically proportional to maybe nothing that this country has ever seen before. And behind door number three, we have a collusion Russia hoax perpetrated by one Hillary Clinton, who was running for office. In the meantime, Barack Obama was the president, and Barack Obama agreed to manufacture intelligence against, what would they say during the impeachment trial of Donald Trump? An opponent, a political opponent, manufacturing a scandal against a political opponent to win an election. That's what they said about Donald Trump when he was talking with Vladimir Zelensky in Ukraine on the, what was it called? The P, the perfect phone C call.
Oh, that's what they all called it. Yeah. The PPC. Oh, I remember that in 2019.
I kind of like it just being the PP.
The perfect phone.
The perfect. I never think for a second what letter phone started with.
It's funny you got all the way into that sentence. And then said, oh, everybody remembers what they called it. The P.
PHP. PP. Y'all remember the perfect phone call? It was something that got in Donald Trump's loop when he would talk. You would not talk to him without hearing about the perfect phone call with Vladimir Zelensky, which was a discussion about providing arms to Ukraine so that Russia wouldn't invade, which, oh, spoiler alert, they did. Why? Because Joe Biden said, don't. You wouldn't believe this story.
Is that another pillar?
I don't know. He said don't, or at least his people told us he said don't. I think he said don't on camera. I think that's all he said. I think they gave him a longer sentence, and he's like, it's too much.
I cannot say do not.
Can we make this shorter?
We shorten this up a bit? It's almost bedtime.
I'm an old man.
Well, ice cream waiting for me.
All three stores are huge, and they're so huge that they're kind of, I think, going to maybe sort of wash each other out a little bit. People are going to go, whoa, that's a lot. That's too much studying. I'm not going to dive headfirst in that. I actually prefer it. I would actually prefer that, okay, if we want to nerd out on any given day about pillar A, pillar B, pillar C, the PP. C.
Pillar A, pillar
C. PP, ellipsis, C, the perfect phone call. If we want to nerd out on any of these things, we can. But what we need is truth. Full exposure. Turn it all inside out, upside down, turn the tables in the tabernacle, and find out exactly what has been done in the name of a bureaucracy that existed that felt like they could get away with it. It's like we don't even have time for it. But what else did they get away with that they could think about the magnitude of what they tried to do. They tried to steal an election from the American people. They tried to take the election away from you. It's possible. Pillar D, that they did it in 2020. And pillar E is COVID. Is 2020 the election or is it COVID? I don't believe any of these fools. And the more that I find out when they reveal this information, the more I ask questions about things that prior to that I was kind of going, oh, I don't know. I don't want to be a conspirator, somebody who's obsessed with the, you know, some of these stories are going to turn out to be really, really terrible, but not as terrible as the most crazy conspiracies that have been contrived. So if there is a little bit, like if it's a 9 on a 10-point scale in salaciousness, I don't want to be uninterested in it because it's not as bad as it could have been. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, all in the absence of information, in the absence of transparency, there are a lot of gaps that we can fill in. And if all of those gaps that people on social media platforms have filled in with questions don't come out to be true, that doesn't mean that the actual truth of the story is going to be less worthy of the American people's time to be provided with the truth, the information that is real, and the exposure that can make sure that those people don't get their hands on the wheel of power in the future. Is Hillary Clinton the worst person to ever come in contact with the American government?
I don't know.
She is a consistent factor in all of these stories.
I'll tell you what, I think we're going to find out. I will say this. I like your turning tables at the tabernacle, the TTT, as they put it. Biblical alliteration. But I think there's a better one even than that.
I have a feeling that what you're about to say is not serious.
No, it is.
Ooh, I'm convinced.
You know, what is Trump known for physically? His hair. What was Samson known for? Samson Trump is going to walk amongst the pillars that you just described. The whole thing's going to come crashing down.
I thought you were going to talk about that picture of Donald Trump with a shaved head and a goatee that I still think is worth a shot.
I'm not talking about that. No, I really do believe that this time around, he got kind of lulled to sleep in his first time because he was new to government. And this guy was a businessman. He'd never been in public office before. He's a president of the United States. And he got taken advantage of. And we're seeing that now. He's come back. And he is not going to play games. He said recently that he thought, you know, when people were saying lock her up about Hillary, it was fun for the campaign, but he's like, I never did anything about it. You could see that I didn't in my first term. And that's because I thought it was time to let bygones be bygones and move on and do the business of the country. But they wouldn't allow it. They would not allow me to continue. They kept just throwing down barbed wire. So now he has to deal with it. And I don't think he's going to have mercy this time. I think that time has come and passed.
The beautiful part about, I think, what is upon us, and beautiful, I mean, in an arc of a story, that if you were writing it and you were wanting vindication, maybe even revenge, in any good story, you get that in the conclusion, but maybe in a great story, you get it in a way that you didn't anticipate. It looks a little different. The vindication here, for me, comes in Donald Trump sitting on the sidelines, watching as it all happens, and he's a direct party to none of it. That the exposure of the truth and the Justice Department and the people both in represented in those who he has appointed in the Justice Department, the investigative departments, in the intelligence departments, do work that exposes what is real. And that if there are people who can be held criminally liable because they can be charged with crimes that have occurred, that that happens. But ultimately, that this country knows the truth and acts on truth to say we are never in our lifetime giving these people the opportunity to have the levers of power again. But we have to know who those people are. The Democrat Party can remake itself. It can separate itself from this deep state version. The Republican Party did it. The deep state is not a Democrat entity. The worst deep staters are the ones who claim to be Republican and participate in this bureaucracy, this government that exists behind the curtain and never has to change and doesn't have to answer the people because they're not elected. Those people on the right in the deep state are the worst of the worst. But the Republican Party effectively has detached itself from that, remade itself, and is now clearly a populist movement, which is America first. That is incredibly clear. And those who have elected Republicans to represent them in office seem to be pretty satisfied at this point in time. 7 months in, almost six and a half months in, for what they voted for. The Democrat Party is listless at this point in time, but they too will separate themselves from the Democrat Party that we know right now, that everyone's looking at like, why would you want to be involved with this sugar show? You do not want to be involved in this. It's a mess. It's an absolute disaster. There's nowhere to hook a wagon to and get from point A to point B. They don't know what they're doing. They will remake themselves, but when they do, every person involved in the deep state that was trying to steal the country away from the American people, they need to be left out to dry, left behind, forgotten, so that their, you know, legacy, boy, that's a big thing for these people because they have power, they have money. They want to live forever with legacy. We got to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think Donald Trump being able to sit on the sidelines and not being the one who's, you know, obviously this isn't real, but would be like, you know, gaveling the sentence or whatever to them, sitting on the side and just knowing they got what was coming. If we get to live to see that, that will be so satisfying.
I'm saying get ready. I think it's here. It's happening now.
We'll be covering it front to back. Probably not in sports and local, though, with Ethan. But you never know.
You really don't.
It's coming up next. If you want to find out what's coming on, what's happening locally in sports and in local news, Ethan will give us the headlines next. Don't go away. Country road.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out. Sports and local.
Little Donnie's Daily Chore.
Donnie.
Little Donnie's Daily Chore.
What? Are you just picking names now?
Yeah.
It's Ethan's segment.
Yeah, I know. But why say Ethan when you can say Little Donnie?
Because it's not his name.
Absolutely. Zero correlation.
We believe in accuracy.
Between myself Ethan.
If you would have said little Hannies, Daily Chore.
That would have made sense. Then he's like, yeah, that would have made sense.
That would have been good too.
I don't even think you're doing these. I think that your AI algorithm has gotten out of control.
I agree.
Local news.
Hello, friends and Ryan.
Hi, Ethan.
But thank you, guys. Before I get into, you know, the actual important news, I just got to throw out there. Last night, the Cardinals played it was an awesome baseball game. Game one against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They won 3-2. Great pitcher's duel. Sonny Gray allowed one hit over seven innings. Lars Nootbaar made the catch of his life in one of the biggest moments in the game in the ninth inning. A couple of big home runs. Very fun game. And the Cardinals get back to .500 with that win. It's been ugly as of late, but it's nice when you can just kind of like put it away and just like say, okay, that was a good baseball game. That was fun to watch. So good stuff for the Cardinals last night. Now on to the important news. This is breaking, guys. The St. Louis public schools, well, they're kind of corrupt.
Oh, yeah?
Ethan breaking some serious local news here.
All right. So an audit just came out from the Missouri auditor, Scott Fitzpatrick, who has been reviewing their year-long district finances, and he gave them the lowest possible rating, poor. That's literally what it says, just straight up. Poor.
So they don't have money.
No money. Let's take a look here at some of the different things that have been shared as to how they are spending some of the tax.
Some of the money
dollars.
They don't have.
Correct. They are on pace to run out of money here by 2030.
Aren't we all?
So that's a good start. The 2030-31 year with no real plan to return to a balanced budget. Fitzpatrick launched the audit this past last August, after former superintendent Keisha Scarlett was placed on leave for her spending and hiring practices during her first year in the position. His team confirmed reports that Scarlett had awarded salaries and raises to her cabinet members beyond the maximum pay rates and without board approval. The largest raise went to the current superintendent Millicent Borishade, who was making She was making $230,000 as Scarlett's deputy, $44,000 over the maximum, and now she makes $268,000, matching Scarlett's previous salary. As well as this, in a violation of Missouri Constitution, which prohibits retroactive pay for government employees, St. Louis Public Schools paid about $3.5 million in attendance bonuses to employees, the audit found. It also says that it details questionable and unreasonable credit card purchases without an educational benefit. Over 3,800 spent at Topgolf, almost 1,700 spent for four nights at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, $1,200 for eight nights in an Airbnb in Atlanta for the Fatamata. So I don't know what that is. If you guys do, please let me know.
Oh, the Fatamata. So
yep, Fatimata. So I got nothing. Credit cards were also used for at least 1,700 and travel upgrades for St. Louis public school administrators and board members in a violation of district policy. I could keep going.
It's a shame they couldn't afford to not put those things on the government dole since they were only making $230,000 a year.
Is this unbelievable or what?
It's sadly believable.
I would trust that this were more accurate than if they were like, oh, we found them to be fiscally responsible.
Yeah, we would have led the show with that. It wouldn't have waited till 2:18.
Shocker.
In a statement yesterday, Superintendent Borshade said she welcomes the opportunity for transparency and public accountability from the state audit. The district has implemented tighter internal controls on contracts, credit cards, and hiring in the past year, the superintendent also stated. It also says a report was released this past month by the SLPS suggesting that the district could save $182 million over the next 5 years by shutting down 37 of 68 public schools in St. Louis.
Wow.
Is that crazy or what?
Well, they're just in it for the kids. They're public servants. What do they get out of it?
Yeah, that's all.
Nothing.
Let me interject here real quick. I think Edwardsville School District is in contract negotiations right now. I don't follow it. I don't have kids in the Edwardsville School District. I pay taxes to the Edwardsville School District. So there's an effort out right now for people to support the teachers. Okay, fine. I'm neither here nor there on that issue for the sake of this show. But I saw a poster or a yard sign that was put out in Edwardsville that said, "Teachers are the heartbeat of the district," or something like that. And I thought, I don't know if that's the right message.
Like that they forgot maybe another group of people, which is the real
the administrators.
Point. The administrators. That's kind of where I was going with it.
Yeah, they're hurting for cash. I just thought, I understand in the context of a union. Now, I'm not a fan of publicly funded unions, so I am not a teacher's union fan, but I am married to a public school teacher, and I do want him to get paid what he is owed. I think he's an exceptional teacher, so I would like him to get paid more because I would like him to be incentivized to go above and beyond. That's not the way their system works. I'm not the one who gets to negotiate it, so on and so forth. But if you're having the conversation about teachers' unions, it's very important to understand that teachers' unions are there for the teachers. Teachers' unions aren't there to create the best student experience. They are there to protect the teacher. Now, you could certainly make the case that a strong teachers' union and well-defended teachers will provide a better education environment for the kids. I'm sure that the teachers' union would say that. But putting on a sign that teachers are the heartbeat of the district, if I got that exact verbiage wrong, forgive me, but that was the point. I knew it was teachers are the heartbeat. That is taking an internal discussion, pointing it outward to the people who you want support from, and missing the mark in the biggest possible way. The reason why communities love their teachers is because those teachers care for the students. Other than that, other than the teacher's responsibility to educating our students, no matter what those students, what kind of baggage or demographics or anything that a student walks into a classroom with, that a teacher's going to see that kid and pull out of them the best possible progress in learning, best possible education that you could possibly muster, that's all going to come because the teacher is good at his or her job. If you're having an internal conversation from a teacher's union saying, you know, you guys are the heartbeat of this district. We have the best teachers in all the districts in all the land in the Edwardsville School District, and you guys are the most important part of that. That is an internal conversation that when I saw that sign out at the corner of some intersection in Edwardsville, I thought, you're losing people when you say this. You need to make the case that because you have a strong teachers union and you have the best teachers that this district can find, that it's for the kids. Teachers' unions are so powerful and have been able to flex so much that they don't even advocate that it's for the kids anymore. And they think that it's worthy. I mean, in that essence, yes, I literally contractually love a teacher, a public school teacher. So don't come at me, teachers. I appreciate what you do. I know the work that you put in. But I also appreciate plumbers. And I also appreciate people who are working the cashier that are coming to work and putting in the same amount of time. They're working their tail off. They're trying to make ends meet. Like, at the end of the day, we're all workers. The thing that makes teachers special to so many people is their relationship with our kids. And, I mean, in this St. Louis, it's St. Louis Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the children? Where are the children in any of those reports? It's not even, I mean, ugh, I could go on and on. But do you know what I'm saying, folks? Like, I'm going to tell you this right now, just a little political tip that no teacher's asking me for. When you're trying to advocate for a better contract in a district that's funded by the people who are looking at those signs, make sure that they know that ultimately this is for the kids. That's how you win on these issues. And teachers' unions are so far away. The unions, not the teachers in the unions. They're way more rational than they get credit for when people just lump them politically into teachers' unions. Don't forget the kids. You got another story before we wrap?
This one's actually making national attention out of St. Louis here. There was a strike that began at Boeing Yesterday morning, 3,200 union members at Boeing facilities in Missouri and Illinois starting on strike. Local members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, of course, who build the F-18s, the F-15 models, they voted Sunday to reject Boeing's latest contract offer, which Boeing says they're very disappointed by. They are saying that this would be a 40% pay raise, an increase in pay for those union workers. The workers are saying that that's debatable. They're saying, in quotation from a guy actually from Bethalto, says we're getting 20% at best. So I'm not sure where the disconnect necessarily is. But this is something that Boeing was expecting, and I guess they're currently going back and forth right now. But as of now, 3,200 union workers at Boeing facilities in St. Louis, St. Charles, and Muskoka, Illinois, all on strike.
Man, that is an important story to this area. Thank you for bringing that. All right. That, what was the name of that segment? Rando? Donnie something?
Little Donnie's.
Little Donnie's Daily Chore.
Thank you for being with us here today, Ethan. Are you going to stick around for X's and Y's?
I will.
All right. Our questions for boys and girls when we come back. Lots to learn. Trisha's going to come in here and help us out. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, right over there.
I had my headphones turned up a little bit. And that
is
really
it, Little Donnie, or is it Lil?
I don't know. Ask the one that created it.
Little.
It's, you get the little tease.
Not Lil.
Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Annie and crew.
Thanks for coming in to learn about boys and girls.
Thanks for having me. It's very informative.
You bet. Ryan had a first question. This is X's and Y's, where we ask questions across genders. And yes, there are only two. Go ahead.
Okay. I want the boys to answer first. Is there anything that you think that girls either have or carry around or do to themselves that is purely a status symbol? And then I want the girls to answer.
Are we answering for ourselves or for women?
For women.
Okay.
Handbag, purse. Purse is a status symbol.
Okay. Yes?
That would be the main one, I would think. Yeah. I would back that as well.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to add cups.
like
to the
like,
mix.
Like, you mean like the Starbucks drinks, or do
any
you mean
cup,
like
yes.
Yetis?
Yes.
Like, set the cup next to the other cup and be like, oh.
Like this one?
Yeah.
Annie has one.
It could be that. Mm-hmm. It could be just a
profusely.
Starbucks cup. It could...
It's sweating. You see my cup?
It's yeah, it looks all
what kind of cup is this?
That's a Cleveland Guardians cup.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
I like it.
You like it?
It's nice.
It's from Progressive Field? Is that what it is?
You got it there.
I did.
It's a status symbol.
I love these gigantic cups. I know. Don't you feel like I'm more important to you?
Yes.
Now?
That's why I need to bring
than
it
you,
up.
Or then you, I mean, more important
makes me
than
feel
you.
Small. And so it does to Lil Donnie, too.
I'm already small enough, guys.
A status symbol, Trisha. I mean, obviously, purses is the easy one. I don't care about any of that crap. Let me ask Ryan this question real quick. What do you think that I do in my life that screams like she's really trying to throw around her status?
Now, you made it personal, because I was just talking about women.
I know. I want you to... I don't think I do those things, but do you think that I do those things?
Not really, but I think all women who do have to think about it with their bags a little bit and their cups.
I don't have a purse.
Then good for you.
Do you see my purse? It's this little... ugly, falling apart thing on the back of my
phone.
A phone
might be another one. A phone might be, but that's cross-gender. That's everybody.
Jewelry? Does jewelry count?
Yes.
Certainly can.
Is that something that's, is that a jewelry for women, or for men for that matter, is that more of a generational thing?
Maybe. Well, I don't know. I think that there are jewelry trends, but I think there are certain types of, I think it kind of has to do with fashion, right? And however much money you're spending on whatever the thing is.
Depends on what kind of jewelry. Necklaces, probably not. Toe rings, absolutely.
But I'd argue that like
am I wearing a necklace? The answer is no. I usually do.
I'd argue that like hats for men are the same as like a handbag or a cup for women.
Hats? See, yeah. I don't ever wear a hat as a status.
There's
symbol,
a reason though. Ryan wears a hat.
Yeah, you know why. Reason.
Why?
It's because I haven't been to
Is
Turkey
Is it the
yet.
Same reason that Ethan wears a hat?
It's not. It's not.
It's not
yet.
It's not. Yeah.
Not yet.
Give him a couple years.
Not yet.
I have carried bags before, which I would consider, I don't know, I don't want to offend any designers, but I have a Kate Spade bag, I have a Coach bag. I don't like carrying them. I certainly don't like maintaining a bag that I have to carry around for just for other people to look at and keep nice. I can't keep it nice. My kids put like applesauce in it. So I'm just not there. Maybe one day I'll have a nice bag that I can keep nice, but I can't do that right now. And I don't give a hoot what people think about me when they see me carrying a bag. I actually, and you can tell me if you agree with this or disagree with this, Ryan. I want, you're a jerk. Stop mocking me. That's not what I look like.
You look like little Debbie.
That's not, that's ridiculous.
Little Donnie.
I want people to be able to see me and know as little about me as possible.
You want to be an enigma. You want to be in like the mist.
Yeah, we should use that kind of language here, but Brad, you got
Who
a button
was
for
she?
That.
I don't know. I could barely even see her.
Shut up.
She was wearing
Trisha. Do you
cellophane?
What? Did you say I have never worn cellophane. That's the opposite of mystery. Well, that leaves nothing to the imagination.
No name, there's no name for the thing that
Shush,
Tom Cruise had in the Mission Impossible movies that was like a sheet that made it look like you could see right through people.
That's
so
not
what, am I supposed to say? I said cellophane.
It's not happening. You're so weird.
Incredibly loud, too.
Oh, my gosh. Trisha, is there anything that you carry that makes you kind of feel... I mean, because you can carry a bag and it makes you feel good. It's not. It doesn't have to be for everybody else. And if you like that thing, go for it. Is there anything that you have that you're...
No, not anymore. Back in the day, I would, with handbags and things, but no. It's all practical now.
Over it. Yeah, it's your mom.
Okay, what about guys? From the girls first, is there anything that guys do or have or carry around or whatever that...
Watches.
You think is a status symbol.
Watches certainly can
be. That's the first one that came to mind for me.
But I'm not, I mean, do you see a woman with a handbag and go, oh.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking, because X and Y's, do women do that? Do
to guys?
Women, no, to other women.
Women, it's very, I think, much more intragender than it is across gender. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But do you ever see a bag and you're like, oh, wow, Lululemon.
No, I haven't done that. No offense to Lululemon.
I mean, that's what you would
sound
like.
I mean, if you got
like,
a Louis Vuitton bag, I know that you have invested in that, and that means something to you. But I'm okay with that. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if you have debt.
Do women call them Louis? Oh, you got a Louis?
Some might. It's not in those circles, Ryan.
It's actually a Louis.
Brad, you got a question?
Yeah. So this is kind of a little bit darker here, but...
Uh-oh.
Did you, when you guys would go to the party scene, whatever it was that you do, was the thought of somebody spiking your drink ever a mainline concern, a frontline concern? Was that something that you guys have to worry about?
Mm. Ryan?
Yes.
I was never actively worried about it. Maybe in hindsight I should have been. We have a lot of posters around our restrooms and stuff to say, watch your drinks and... wink at a bartender if you feel crazy, but it was not living rent free in my head.
I didn't live that lifestyle. I didn't go to bars and stuff. So
wink
I was
at a
if I were
bartender?
In a position to be drinking alcohol, I was always with people that I felt comfortable with and I knew cared for me. So I never did the bar scene.
Hang on now.
Yeah. So in like women's restrooms, there are signs that say if
things you can order.
Yeah. Think drinks you can order, like an angel drink or an angel shot or something, like different ways to signal that you need help in a situation.
And the bartender knows, oh, she orders an angel shot.
I need to call the police or I need to call a cab.
Yeah, they have,
or
they
the
have different
person
things
she's
really?
With is making her. Yeah.
Wow. But now guys can go in women's bathrooms so we can see all that stuff.
It does make it more difficult, yeah, for us women to wink at a bartender.
To not get drugged and raped. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yes. To answer your question, Brad, no. I mean, maybe it should have been more present in my mind, but no.
Did you?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
No, you didn't ever have to worry about
Trisha,
it.
Trisha, did you have a question?
Well, one follow-up to Brad's question, though, for the men. Have you ever been in an acquaintance with somebody that would do something like that? Like, how prevalent is that?
I know
that
somebody
in,
who's been drugged and raped.
No, not the victim side of it, the perpetrator side of it.
Mm. That wouldn't have gone over well with me if I would have found out they did that. So I will say no. I don't know that it's no, but nobody ever revealed that to me or
but
talked about it.
But it's not common for men to like know a guy that does that.
Not, at least not for me.
That's an interesting question.
I got a question when we come back for you gentlemen, just to think about over the break. What makes you feel insecure, but you wouldn't normally admit it? So what are some insecurities that men have that might be real insecurity? Yeah, that I would like you to publicly confess to when we come back.
To everybody. Okay.
Yes, but for men.
For all men, so it's not us.
Not you.
Okay.
No, right.
This is something I think Ethan would probably be really embarrassed about.
Well, I mean, you got a friend who is a man.
They call me Little Donnie.
Is the friend in the room with you right now. Let's take a quick break. We'll finish up X's and Y's. We come back and the results of today's poll. Do you believe everyday environmental toxins are taking years off your life? Yes or no? We'll be right back. That don't matter, it's sick, 'cause it's all the same. So we were talking about X's and Y's here on a Tuesday afternoon. Questions that boys have for girls and girls have for boys. And my question was, for men, what are things that make you feel insecure but you rarely admit it? Now, I think women, obviously, women are always insecure about their weight. And if you've, like, I know very few people who don't, even if they're super fit, they're very focused on staying fit. Women specifically. Mm-hmm. Trisha, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That weight is an obvious thing that women are traditionally insecure about.
Yep.
But I also think at the age of 40, where I am right now, you know, the ideas of signs of aging and stuff starting to set in. Like, I'm looking, so every once in a while I'll do something. I'll be putting like moisturizer on my face at night and I'll move my skin and it just hesitates a gosh darn second to go back to where it was supposed to go. And I'm like, it takes my breath away. Gentlemen, what are things that men are insecure about? I think hair is probably something. Losing hair is one of the obvious ones. I don't even know if weight is something that men, that cause them to be insecure.
To an extent, I wouldn't say it's something men obsess over.
I think it depends on the guy, because if the guy is overweight, he definitely thinks about it. It's something that concerns him. But if the guy isn't, it's not something that ever makes it to the forefront of it.
The window of what is overweight is probably a lot different for men to be insecure about than women are just by nature generally insecure.
Like for me, whenever I was 300 plus pounds, it was like I was aware of where I was going, what I needed to wear. I need to wear two shirts so that my belly doesn't hang out the bottom of my shirt.
Let me add into this conversation here too. Kate says this. Underweight guys worry about it too. That's something that I think that women, is that a difference?
That is a real thing. Yeah. The guys are like, I don't know what, like I see it on message boards and stuff. Guys are like, I don't know what the deal is. It doesn't matter how much I eat and how many times I go to the gym. I just cannot put on weight. I cannot add muscle. I can't do any of that. And there is an insecurity because nobody wants to be thinking of themselves as some sort of scrawny little twig guy either.
Do you have any insecurities, Ryan?
Ethan.
Why does Ethan make you insecure?
Yeah. Oh,
he's so nice.
That was so good, Ethan. That was great. Good job.
What did I do?
Standing there. Ryan, you got to admit, that was good.
Ethan got you.
That was great. Now that I've gone, Ethan, you can go.
It's his youth and his luscious locks.
That's what I
long,
would have said
long, flowy
too.
Ginger hair.
Not ginger.
It's ginger.
Strawberry blonde. Thank you.
Said the ginger.
The exact same thing. Yeah. What you just said.
Not trying to claim blonde.
Are you insecure about your red hair?
I don't like people saying that I have red hair.
Why?
Because it's not red.
It's beautiful.
It's strawberry blonde. Oh, it's a difference.
I think we found a
strawberry blonde just different. Doesn't make you sound manly when you
go. Yeah, I don't care.
Strawberry
it's better
blonde.
To be
I don't
a
think
ginger.
Ethan's worried about it.
I do not care.
That's Friday's poll.
That's a great poll. When is Friday?
What would you call Ethan's hair?
I would say that guys can be very self-conscious if they don't have a lot of money, if finances are an issue.
I'm glad you brought
that
up.
Yeah.
Less about appearances and more about like job, like where you're at professionally and how much you're earning. That's something that...
Is the insecurity from your comparison to your peers or your comparison to where you thought you would be or your comparison to what you just think it should be?
A little bit of both. It doesn't help, I think, if you have people around you that are all of a sudden climbing the ranks and, you know, getting good pay raises, and you are not, I think that doesn't help, but I wouldn't say it's solely reliant on that. I think it's a bit of both.
Brian?
I would say, overall, for guys, it would be, and you can apply this to a lot of things, failure. Guys do not want to admit failure.
Is it a failure that's already occurred, or the possibility of it existing,
or both?
Because
it destroys your confidence once you have, and then you don't necessarily want to try it again. And that could be with anything. It could be with women. It could be with business. It could be with just trying to do something you don't think you're good at. If you fail at it, you're not likely to try again. You lose
your confidence. There's another one from Joe, just suggesting for men. Just read this. This is the last one. We'll end on this.
If you have to pee in public, but you only have to pee a little bit, it makes it just a little tinkle noise, and that makes me insecure. Also, sharing that info publicly makes me insecure. This is from Joe.
Hey, you know what? Joe, we appreciate you.
Safe space.
We appreciate you.
This is a safe space,
it's a super safe.
It's from Schmo.
Schmo Schmuggable.
Schmo Schmuggable.
So,
little Donnie and Schmo.
Does your urination, because for dudes it's a little more public, do you need a steady stream?
It's probably time for the YouTube live chat poll results.
Let's get it from Ethan here. The question is, do you believe every day in... Don't move it while I'm moving the mouse. There you go. Okay, now you're good.
This is what you do to me, Trisha.
Do you believe every day environmental toxins are taking years off your life? Yes or no, Brad?
Yes.
Trisha?
Yes.
Yes, but it's offset by modern conveniences as well.
Absolutely.
I'm a yes, too.
226 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll that I'm reading off Annie's computer. Do you believe everyday environmental toxins are taking years off your life? 68% say yes.
Ryan, is it just a little tinkle? Is that his problem?
3, 2, 1.
Margaret Show next.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.